This morning, and fortunately, I was able to be here twice. I heard the morning version, the early version, and then I heard the 11 o'clock version. And I'm glad I was here because they weren't exactly the same. They never are. For those of you that are here for both services, whenever I'm preaching, you know that things are not quite always the same. And you know, God speaks different times, and different services, and different people there. And so we're thankful to God. I'm thankful for Brother Josh and him and his family here, and he's going to come and preach to us again tonight.
Thanks, Pastor. All right, well, good evening. We're going to move forward. We looked this morning, for all those who were here earlier, at some things that God remembers, and that's kind of the theme here, is remembering. And we looked at a few things that God remembered. I'm going to try to do what the pastor does because I really like it. It helps me to remember. So I want you to remember, all right? And I'm going to try to go through this. It really is good. It really is good to get a little repetition, to get that back in our heads. I remember so much. I think I remember more from our pastor's preaching than any other, just because you hear it repetitively in the series. So we looked at God remembering. We started off seeing that, you know, in the Old Testament and through into the New Testament, altars and memorials were made whenever God met with these men in a special way. And whenever God appeared in a special way, whenever God did a powerful thing for them, they would build an altar, they would build a memorial, all kinds of different things throughout the entire scriptures. And then you go on to the New Testament and you see that the Lord himself told his disciples to remember, remember, remember these things that I've told unto you, these things that I've told unto you, over and over and over. And so obviously it's very important in the Christian walk to remember some things. This morning, though, we looked at a couple of things that God remembers. Now, this is in no way exhaustive. There's so many things that we could get into with this theme of remembering. But one thing we looked at is that God remembers our helpless condition. We saw from the Psalm 103, that we are as dust. We saw from Isaiah 41 that we are as a worm. And I mentioned that that's an encouragement to me because it reminds me that God agrees with me about my state. Right? He agrees with me that I am nothing outside of Christ, that in and of myself, I am nothing. I'm a worm. We went on to look at our helplessness in salvation, that there's no way to be saved without the grace of God. And, you know, that's one of those things that we talk about so often for years and you, for as long as you've been in a Baptist church, you've been hearing about being saved by grace through faith, but still yet you continue to have people getting saved here and there that's been under the gospel for many years. So it's almost like it doesn't really get through. I was one of those for a little bit. I wasn't in church, but I heard that truth, and then it finally clicked when I finally got broken by my sin. And so we looked at the helplessness in salvation. We went on to look at our helplessness in our sanctification, even in our walk, in that even our walk with Christ requires grace. It requires supernatural grace, supernatural help, that we can't even walk without Him holding our hand. We can't even walk with Him. We can't serve Him without Him empowering us to serve Him and to walk with Him. That's the third one, service, to grow and then into service. We looked at Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. John 15, without me ye can do nothing. And that's a memory verse if there ever was one. Without me, Christ said, you can do nothing. We need Him for everything. And then we went on to look at our helplessness, even in sustenance and preservation. We think that we work and provide for ourselves, but we really don't. It's God. It's all God. It's all Him. You know, finances, health, it don't matter what it is. It's all from His hand and His hand alone. And then we went on to the second point, which is God remembering His eternal covenant. And that's very important, isn't it? Because if He didn't remember His eternal covenant, we'd have to get saved all over again all the time, right? Oops, He forgot. He needs to I guess Christ needs to die again, right? So he remembers his eternal covenant. Exodus chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, and God heard their groaning. We saw that the Israelites had to get to that point to where they were so fed up with themselves, they were so fed up with the bondage and slavery that they cried out to God, and we saw that that's a direct parallel to us. We have to get to that point to where we get so fed up with ourselves, we get so fed up with our sin, we get so fed up with the world, self, the devil, all of it, that we finally cry out to God for mercy. And that's in salvation, and again, even in our walk with Him, to where we fully surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, fully surrender to Him, to walk with Him. And then finally, we looked at Mephibosheth, one of my favorite examples of grace, one of my favorite examples of a Christian in the Old Testament, Mephibosheth, so helpless, just nothing good in him, but David gave him grace for his father Jonathan's sake, and only for his father Jonathan's sake. Never was about us, it always has been about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, I'm going to get the sound men mad at me. Sorry. Brother Greg's going to be mad too. All right. Let's move forward. I want to look now at some things that we need to remember. We looked at a couple things that God remembers, but now I want to look at a few things that we need to remember. First off, we need to remember what God remembers, right? We need to remember our state. We need to remember the covenant that we have in Christ. We need to remember the cross. We need to remember Mount Calvary. We need to remember the blood that Christ bled for us on that cross. We need to remind ourselves every day, one day after another, that we need to die to self and we need to feed off of the power of the Holy Spirit, feed off of His Spirit. And by the way, the Bible says, it calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ in some places. And so we need Christ, we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. But we also need to remember our past deliverances and mercies. And that's the first point tonight I want to look at. Our past deliverances, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, I want to look at a passage there. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. This is a, Deutero is a repeat of the law. It's going over the law again. And in verse 15, this is speaking of the Sabbath day, but I just want to read this through and get the point out of it. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath. He says, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. Don't forget the state that He delivered you out of. Don't forget who you were, because outside of Christ, that's who you still are. And don't forget the mercy that He's given unto you. Now, there's an interesting point to this passage. If you look through the Old Testament, if you just look through Deuteronomy, you'll find that almost that same exact phrase, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, is repeated at least 8 different times just in the book of Deuteronomy. It's almost like God wanted those Israelites to remember their deliverance out of Egypt. And you know, it's the same thing for us. I remember that day that the Lord saved me is, I think, the biggest day of my life, right? The biggest day, the most amazing day of my life. It changed everything about me and about my life. And I often go back to that for encouragement. I remember during a period of darkness that I went through, maybe 7 or so years after I was saved, I went through, and I've probably mentioned this before when I've preached previously, because I do all the time. But I remember going through this period of darkness that I had never experienced as a Christian before. I just felt as if God was not there. And one of the two things that really helped me a lot was just going back to that day when He saved me. Just remembering the great mercy and the great love and the great peace. And it was like God came down and gave me a hug. And I would remember that, and it just helped me. The second thing was the resurrection, to know the great hope that we have. Those two things really helped me. But to remember those great deliverances is very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll give this to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. verses 8 through 10. We have an example of Paul again. Paul says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we despaired even unto life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, that's present tense, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." And so we remember our past deliverances and our past graces and mercies because it helps us to increase our optimism and our hope moving forward. It helps to increase our faith as we move forward, to remember those things. The Lord has helped me, so I know he will help me again. And there's been many times, and just in my short walk with Christ, many here have known the Lord much longer than I have. And I can remember many, many times when I was at a Red Sea moment. And it was just like, how can this possibly happen? How can I possibly get through this? And it seemed completely impossible. And I would cry out to God. And time after time, when I get to those Red Seas, he gets me through it. He supernaturally gets me. And not only does he get me through it, but he gets me through it and it helps me in some way. It brings me forward in some way. It increases my faith. It does something that's good. And I look back in hindsight and I say, I'm glad that he brought me to that Red Sea. I'm glad he brought me to that impossible situation, because there I learned something, or there I grew. And so to remember our past deliverances and our past mercies really help us. But they also help others. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 19... I want to look at that demoniac. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. I'm not going to read this whole passage, but this is the Gadarene demoniac. Verse 18 says, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And so it's not only for our good. We need to remember our past deliverances and our past salvation, whether we're talking about salvation from sin when we're born again, or we're talking about salvation from some great trial in our life, whatever it might be, we need to remember those things so we can tell others, so God can use those things. You ought to be telling people about, you know, at the right time and the right situations. You know, I'd be telling people about how the Lord saved you. Tell them. You say, well, they need to receive the gospel, not a story. Well, you know, a salvation testimony ought to have the gospel in it, if it's really a salvation testimony. And so you can tell them how you got broken by your sin and how you saw that Christ was everything and that you rested in him and you got saved. Now, you probably won't have those exact same words. It's all a little bit different. But it's the same core. And the Lord can use that to save souls. And you know what else he can also use is just in regards to trials in life. I went through this horrible, dark trial in my life. And the Lord helped me in this way or in that way or the other. I'm so encouraged whenever I hear testimonies like that from others. I'm so encouraged when I know many people here. There are people here who have lost children, who have lost spouses, who have been through cancer, who have been through so many just horrible things. Desperately difficult, dark times. But yet, you know what? They get up and they move forward. Many of them have a smile on their face. That encourages me to see this sister or this brother who lost someone close to them or went through this horrible time. And every time I see them, they got a big smile on their face. You know what that tells me? That tells me that, you know what? Maybe if I go through that, maybe I can deal with it too. Maybe the Lord will get me through it. If he got them through it, maybe he'll get me through it too. That helps me. And that helps others. We've got to tell people. We need to tell people when the Lord delivers us. And that's why the Lord told this man. He said, go, tell people what the Lord hath done for you. The second thing, aside from our past deliverances and mercies, that I want to look at tonight, is remembering the truth regarding our present comfort. These are things that are so important. They're crucial to our walk with Christ, to remember these core truths, the truths of our position in Christ, the truth of our power in Christ. Yeah, there's power. We have power in Christ. We'll talk a little bit about that. And on our progress, our, you know, God's providence in our lives as Christians. Our position, John chapter 16, I want to look at a passage in John chapter 16 and verse 33. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Christ says, "In me ye might have peace." Again, there's no peace in the world. There's only peace in Christ. Christ is the only source of peace, of true peace. You might get some good feelings from the world, but you'll never get that supernatural peace, that real help from God, unless it's in Christ as we dwell on Him and walk with Him. But He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." And then He says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Now, we live in the United States of America, in Kentucky or Indiana. It's not real bad right now, is it, as far as persecution goes, as far as all that goes. Now, a true Christian, there's got to be some level of persecution, but we probably are careful to call it persecution compared to what some of these people deal with in third world countries and across the world, right? But we still deal with a lot of tribulation, don't we? It might not be persecution, but we still deal with some hard, difficult things in this world. Because this world is a fallen world. This world is full of sin. It's full of disease. It's full of disappointment. It's full of sadness. It's full of horrible, horrible things. I saw on the news earlier that a man was arrested for cutting off somebody's head, and they found a decapitated body in his apartment in Jeffersonville, right down the road. Just crazy, wicked, dark things. But Christ says, "In this world you shall have tribulation." He doesn't save us from all the tribulation, but He uses the tribulation. He uses the trials for our good. And He says this, He says, "But be of good cheer. Don't let it all get you discouraged. Don't let it get you down. Remember this, I have overcome the world." Amen. Faith is the victory. Faith in Christ is the victory. You could say the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, is the victory. He has overcome the world. The world wants to put its chains on us and hold us down and discourage us and keep us in darkness and have us to be discouraged and sad and mopey all day long, every day. But Christ says, no, no, no. He says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We walk from victory, not to victory. We're not trying to achieve the victory. If we're trying to achieve the victory, we're not walking right. There's something wrong. Because we've already received the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The victory was won at the cross of Calvary for every single one of us. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter who you are, you have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just got to remember. We've just got to remember. Romans chapter 8. We're flipping through a lot of passages here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 says something of what the pastor's been preaching on lately. Go to verse 16. "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God." Now, I'm not an heir of a, you know, multimillionaire or anything like that. My parents are still living, thank the Lord, but when they go, I'm not going to be a millionaire. But you know what? I have something far better. I have Christ. We have Christ, and we're joint heirs with Christ, and Christ has everything. He has everything. He owns everything. The Father gave Him everything. Why did He have to give it to Him if He's God? Because He submitted Himself. He became man for our sake. He went to the cross as 100% man in order to pay our sin debt. And then the Father, for that, gave it all to Him. And so we have everything. We're joint heirs with Christ. I mean, do you believe that? I mean, think about that for a minute. When we walk around, when you do your job, whenever you, whatever it is that you do every day, when you do you think, whenever you go to the store, not don't take this the wrong way. I'm not saying we ought to be prideful. If we're being prideful, we're certainly not being Christ-like, right? But when you walk around the store, do you think, you know what? I'm blessed. I am a child of God. Now, I hope there's other children of God there, and there probably are. So I'm not, you don't want to take it in the wrong way. But just to think, I am a object of God's mercy for Christ's sake. And by the way, there's responsibility that comes along with that. If I'm walking through the store, I'm wherever I'm at, doing whatever I'm doing, working, I'm thinking, because I'm a child of God, I love these people. I'd like to see all them be children of God. Is there some way that I can witness to them? Is there some way I can get attracted to them? Is there some way that I can influence them some way to come to Christ? That's a blessing. We are blessed. We're a blessed people. We're special people. We are special people. We're sanctified. We're set apart for God's use. We're set apart as God's people. We're not like the world. We're not like we used to be before we were saved. We're different, and we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to God. Now I want to look at one more thing, Hebrews chapter 8, on this topic of position. Hebrews chapter 8. I love Hebrews because it speaks of Christ being better than the angels, being better than everything, the new covenant being better than the old covenant, the great high priest being eternally better than the high priest of the Old Testament. And that's what we're looking at here in Hebrews chapter 8. It says, now of these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Now this is after all this talk about the high priest and about the priesthood being not discontinued, but taken to eternal heights in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ being so much better than this priesthood. No more sacrifices needing to be offered. Because Christ is our great high priest. It says, now of these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is the point of it all. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Now, I just said that because I want to get to this other point in Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. I want to show you the blessing on the children of Israel by the high priest. It says in chapter 6 and verse 22 of Numbers, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons. Now we're talking about the high priest, right? The Old Testament high priest. Saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now God is telling him, this is how I want you to bless them. God says, there's some particular things that I have in mind that I want the high priest to say, because these are the blessings that I have for God's people. Right? And this is what it is. Now, as we read these, just think what we just read in Hebrews, that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. These were the blessings in the old covenant. And if these were the blessings in the old covenant, how much greater are the blessings in the new covenant? And if these were the blessings through that high priest Aaron, who was a sinner just like you and I, how much greater are the blessings through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has no sin, who's spotless, who is the Lamb of God? The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise, in this way, ye shall bless the children of Israel. Saying unto them, in verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. That word keep is to watch, to guard, to observe. Now think, this applies to you if you're a Christian. This applies to me. We have a great high priest in heaven. He is our great high priest. He's interceding for us between God the Father and us. He is our intercessor. And he is applying these blessings to you and to me. Isn't that a blessing to think about? One of those blessings is to keep us. You know, he does keep us. Some of us might, our hair's all messed up and we're, you know, our house is all, well, not mine. My house isn't messed up, but we're a hot mess, right? And we're saying, well, I don't know if the Lord's keeping me very well. Well, you know, we can mess things up on our own, but Christ is keeping you. If you belong to Him, He's working in your life in ways that you don't realize. He's keeping you. You don't know the demonic attacks that He has already kept away. And anything He does allow, it's for a reason. He has Satan on a leash. So this is how you'll bless them. The Lord bless thee and keep thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance. This is the best one. This is the best one. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee. Why is that the best one? Because that's talking about God's presence. He's saying that the high priest bestows the presence of God on God's people. We have the presence of God available. Now, sometimes we can hide from the presence of God, so to speak, or at least the enjoyment of His presence by backsliding into sin and whatever else. But we have the presence of God available to us at all times if we'll just set our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll just walk with Him and keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the promise of His presence because Christ Himself is our great High Priest. And He's sitting on the throne in heaven. He's on that throne above, if you remember in Ezekiel 1, the wheels and the spokes and all that crazy stuff and the creatures there. It's all talking about the providence of God. God working out His ways through all kinds of different areas, but it's all working out for our good. And then above it is the throne. And Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, is sitting on that throne above all the providence, above all the workings of God. Jesus Christ is on that throne above. And a throne is a place of power. He's in control. And then the rainbow is above it. And that rainbow, that's a symbol of grace. He's working His providence in our lives with grace, with much grace. Because we need grace. Because without grace, we'd be undone. We'd be in hell for one thing. But He's working grace in our lives as our great High Priest. The second thing, the truth regarding our present comfort I want to look at, is our power that we have. Ephesians chapter 1, and verses 20 through 22, and we could read a lot of this, I would love to, but for the sake of time, let's go to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us? His power towards us is power that is used in our lives through our prayer. We have power because He tells us to pray, and He is above all principalities and power. He's above everything, and He's working through our lives and through our prayer. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 20 through 22, it says, He's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. That's us. We're a part of the church. And He is the head of all things, and we are hid in Him. Our life is hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have power through prayer because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's on the throne and He is our great High Priest. I mean, think about that. Remember that. Remember that as you go through your day. Remember that I have power. You know, I can't talk to President Trump. I don't have his number. He has mine. He sends me texts all the time. But I don't have his number. I don't have the governor of Kentucky's number. I don't want it either. I don't have Indiana's governor's number. I don't have any power through these channels. And even if I did, the power of the United States president is nothing. Nothing compared to God. Nothing. Just, I mean, think about that for a minute. Remember that. Remember that. We have power. You know, a child of God has power to change a ruler. I mean, a child of God has power to heal. Now, I'm not saying that we can be little gods and we can touch somebody and heal. I'm not saying that. But because God hears our prayer, and because Christ shed his own blood for us, and because Christ is our great high priest, and Christ is on the throne, and because Christ is above all principalities and power, you, child of God, have that much power in your prayer. So pray. Pray because you have power. Remember to pray. Every day, pray. We have power. And by the way, in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that we can come boldly under the throne of grace to find grace to help in the time of need. We can come boldly. Certainly not arrogantly, proudly, but we can come boldly because we belong to Him, because He purchased us. He bought us. The throne of grace is the most powerful throne. Far more powerful than the Supreme Court. Far more powerful than the UN. Far more powerful than anything that you could ever think of. The throne of grace. And He tells us to come boldly. The third point in this truth regarding our present comfort that I want to look at is our progress. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purposes. All things work together for the good of those who love God. I believe that. I really do. And I believe that they all work together for us individually and personally. Personally for good. Sometimes it's really hard to see how some certain circumstance could possibly be for our good. And sometimes we never do find out what it was. But oftentimes we do in the long run. Oftentimes in hindsight we can look back and we can see, like I said earlier, we can look back and see, okay, now I see. Now I see. I think of some, just in my own circumstances, what brought us here. Just some circumstances that were extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. But I look back and I say, you know what? We love it here. The Lord was just bringing us into a loving church and we love it. And I know why He did it now. And I believe we've grown through it, and it's helped us. And there's just so many things that God uses for our good. And that's one of those things we need to remember. We need to remember that verse. We need to remember that all things work together for our good. Whenever you're going through trials, whether they're small or large, whether it's some annoying person you have to listen to on the phone or some annoying person you have to work with or live with. No, I don't have any of them. I don't have any of them. That's not the case with me. But if it is with you, all things work together for good. And that's the truth. I mean, really, you know, I joke, but really. I have this thing where these truths that we hear all the time, like that one, Romans 8:28. I have this thing where I want to get stuck on it, because I feel like these truths that we hear so often, we have a tendency of kind of making them common, and we have a tendency, because we hear it so often, of not really grasping the magnitude of them. And I think that's one of them. All things work together for your good, child of God. They really do. And you might see it shortly, and you might see it in a long time, and you might not see it until you get to glory if the Lord reveals it. But I know that He does it, and I'm glad that He does it. Oftentimes, trials and troubles just to humble us. I sure need a whole lot of it. He's had to do that many times with me. Oftentimes, it's just to draw us closer to Him. Many of the times that I've dealt with severe trials, it's just draw me closer to Him. And afterwards, I see, man, this drew me to Him like never before. And I can look back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I couldn't say it in the middle of it, maybe. But afterwards, I can look back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the grace of the trial that you sent my way. There's a couple more things I want to look at here, and we'll cut it off. John chapter 12. A couple passages here. John chapter 12 and verses 14 and 16. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. I want to give you one more. John chapter 2 and verse 13. Very similar passage. John 2:13. "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge, of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." I brought this up because I want us to remember there are some things that we need to learn from the Word of God and to remember from the Word of God, because sometime in the future, we're really going to need that truth. How many of us can testify that we went, how many times can we testify on a regular basis that some truth that we've heard 1,000 times and we've read in the Scriptures many times, and then one day we're going through some specific trial and all of a sudden that promise, that truth in the Scripture meant more to you than it ever had in your life? How often? And so that's all the more reason to get into the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, and to remember the Word of God. You can't remember it if you don't know it, right? You can't remember it if you don't know it. Some promises need to be memorized for the future, because if you neglect the Word now, you might have some disappointment later. And God doesn't want that. God wants us. He wants to help us. He wants to bless His Word to our hearts. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless our lives. And He is gracious and merciful. Let me give you two more passages here and then we're done. Revelation chapter 21. Looking at the future hope, the truth of the future hope. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." That's Christ. "And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." That's the future hope of every Christian. You know, there's three tenses of salvation in the Bible. There's a past, present, and future. We were saved from the penalty of sin that moment we first believed. We must be saved from the power of sin every single day. We've got to die to self and die to sin. But there's a future salvation that's still yet to be wrought in us, and that's the salvation from the presence of sin. And that's what this is talking about here. There's a day in the future, child of God, that you will no longer struggle with sin. Your own sin, the sin of others, just the wicked system of things in this world, the result of sin, disease, trials, troubles, they'll all be gone. And that is our great hope. Our great hope is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His eternal kingdom, which is glory, glory, glory. We have great hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much. I could sit here for days, and we could just look at things to remember in the Scriptures. But the one thing that I want to get through to all of us is to just remember. Is to remember that we need to remember. To remember that there's so much in this Word of God that will help us. There's so much that has to do with our peace. As the Lord said, He was speaking of Jerusalem. He was weeping and disappointed. And if you would know what I'm misquoting it, but generally, if you would know what there is to do with your peace, but you would not. Listen, get in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Memorize those memory verses. It's not just for the children. It's for the adults too. The Lord will bless it. We need to remember some things. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I know that I just get in the way often, but I know that your word was preached, and I pray you bless it to hearts, Lord. We thank you for all the mercy that you give us, Lord. As the pastor said, Lord, we all need so much mercy. Lord, we all fall short so often in so many ways. And Lord, you are our hope. You are our life. Christ is our life, and we're hid in him. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the blood that was shed for sinners like us. We just pray you'd help us to remember the cross and the Christ of the cross. Amen. And pray you'd help us just to glorify you more Amen. Each and every day. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to start singing in just a moment.